thinking over 20 times, you'll know I didn't get nothing. Brother Mark may preach some. I told him to be ready. That's the way my pastor did me when I was a boy preacher. He'd say, you be ready. Sometimes I'd go with my finger in my Bible for 6 weeks. And then out of the blue, one cold, stormy night, when he couldn't find nobody else, I guess, I got the knob, and I was ready. Huh? That's right. So, you know, Brother Horton Ralph used to tell me, Brother Ralph used to say, he'd say, son, always be ready to preach or die, either one. And that's good advice for a preacher. Huh? That's right. All right, turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Luke tonight. Now, this may not seem like a revival message, but I'll tell you, this is the way I look at it. If it's revival and it's the only message, it's a revival message. Huh? It's the only one you got, and it's revival, then it'll have to fit. Praise God. So you just stay with me. I love my church, and I love to see. I was kind of wanting to see one like you had last Sunday. I was just wanting to get in it. I've been looking forward to it. It'll come. I know it will. I was so tickled for you all. I'd a lot rather have you shouting while I'm gone as the other. Huh? I really would. And I was thrilled to hear that you got blessed. And some of your requests tonight were so important. And it's good to see different ones here that's been sick and been able to come out. And we want to look and let me see here. Let's go to the 21st chapter and verse number 34. I preached last week. I started on Sunday and I preached every night out of the same chapter of the Bible. I never done that too much, but I did 2 Kings chapter 5. Trying to get Naaman dipped last week. Finally got him dipped on about Thursday night. Praise God. We had a good time. Tonight I'm not going to preach on this every night. I don't know, this may be my last night preaching. Brother Wiley is scheduled, and he may get done Tuesday night. He may get done Thursday night. May get done Sunday night. Or he may not get done. So we're going to have church. We cannot depend on that, can we? We're going to have revival. He rolls in, we'll pass it to it. But if not, we'll just keep right on going. All right, look here with me in the Scriptures. Luke chapter 21, we'll begin with verse 34. The Bible said, and take heed to yourselves. Take heed to yourselves. Now, I'm going to read some more, but I'd just like to stop right there just a minute. You know, that is the first step to getting help. It's when you pay attention to yourself. You know, we can look at one another and look around and see all kinds of room to improve in others. And we can see the need of revival in our neighbor. But you know, if we really want revival, amen, we've got to take heed to ourselves. You know, you're really the only one that you can make live right. You know that? You're really the only one can do it. You can't make your kids live right. You can't make nobody live right. But you can live right yourself by the grace and help of God. Is that right, church? And so the Bible said, take heed to yourself, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unaware. Now, what day are we talking about? Well, the verse right before that says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Amen. Verse 30 said, when they shoot forth, talking about the fig tree, when they shoot forth, you see and know of your own selves, the summer is nigh at hand. Now, what are we talking about? We're talking about the end of time. Yeah. Amen. And so, Brother Zane, one of the greatest signs of the end time is people are fulfilling verse 34. And that is, you know, the Bible said, as in the days of Noah, they were eating and drinking. And you know, there's not any sin in eating and drinking. if it's not done in revelry. You understand what I'm saying? But they were eating and drinking and marrying. There's no sin in getting married. The Bible said in the Lord. Hello. That's right. Eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage. There's really no crime in any of that stuff in itself. But what the Bible's trying to point out is folks are so busy and they're so caught up in the cares and daily going that day, brother, there's only one day that the Bible calls that day. Come on now. We look at our birthdays, and I was born on Halloween, and I used to like celebrating it before I hit 41. But we still look at days. We look at Christmas. I love to celebrate Christmas. I like Easter. We look at days. I'm looking forward to homecoming again. I love homecoming. Highlight of my year. That's right. And we look at days, but there's only one day. Brother Mark keeps his wedding anniversary right on the top of his head all the time. He can call it up right now. No, I'm not going to make him do it. He might forget. But we remember our anniversaries. But there's only one day that Jesus called that day. And everybody ought to know about that day. I can remember when our presidents, when they would start talking about war, they'd say, you know, we hope we're not going to get into Armageddon. They had in their consciousness that day. I wonder if Mr. Clinton has that day in mind tonight. Oh, come on now. Don't quit me now. But I want to tell you something. All of our life should be lived toward that day. Now, that's not my text. I'm not going to title this message tonight in case I want to preach it again tomorrow night. Y'all never recognize it if I don't title it. But he said, amen, take heed to yourselves lest at any time your hearts be overcharged. You know what overcharged means? Taking too much upon you. Amen. Do you know the Bible said the last days that men would go to and fro in all the earth? Amen. Knowledge would be increased. Did you ever see a time in all your life? Now, stay with me. Amen. Take heed to yourself. There is a temptation in this last day, amen, to allow yourself to be overflowed. The Bible said, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess. Notice that word. Amen. Be not drunk with wine. The Bible was against taking intoxicating beverages in. Amen. Until you are drunk with wine by excess. Amen. But you know you can get drunk on things besides alcoholic beverages. Amen. The Bible talks about being drunk on the cup of her wine in the book of Revelation. Talking about the great harlot. Amen. And the false teacher. Amen. How they were drunk. They just kept on taking in the world and kept on taking in the world until they lost their reasoning power. They lost their function. They lost their position with God. And the cares of this life overcharged their heart. Amen. Help me preach a little tonight. Amen. The last day. And that here's the sad part about it. That day come upon you unaware. Nothing sadder. I remember a brother told me about going into church, in the hospital, and to visit, and he heard a man crying out in another room, I'm dying and I'm not ready. I'm dying and I'm not ready. There's nothing sadder, church, amen, than that day coming upon us. And the Bible said, you know one of the characteristics of the day of Noah? The Bible said that flood come upon them and they knew it not. Amen. I want to ask you, as much preaching as you've heard, as much warning as you've had, as much exhortation as we've had, why are we not getting any more ready, amen, to meet the Lord? Amen. That's what revival's about. It's getting ready, praise God, for that day. Now, how you tell me, how in the world, Brother Mac, can a preacher preach? It took Noah how many years to build the ark? Does anybody know? I don't think it specifically tells, but it was many years that he preached. Probably, I would say, to build that ark, it took numbers and numbers and numbers of years. Hundreds of years to build the ark. And all the time they were building the ark, he was preaching. You know, you can do more than one thing at a time. You know, you can build an ark and preach too. Huh? Praise God. Come on now. You see, that's where the problem in America today. Folks have got so overcharged, amen, with this world and the cares of this life, that everything they hear is drowned out, amen, by the ding and the cling and the clang and the bang of this world and the cares of life heap upon us so, amen, that we're no longer able to hear the gospel and be ready and prepared. Amen, brother, there's a danger in being surfeited. The word surfeit is like being foundered. Brother Danny, I remember as a boy, one of my neighbors had some workhorses that got out and got into some fresh clover and eat so much, and then they got in a rain barrel and they drank 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 and they drank. And there's something about, I don't know, they ate so much. And he had one horse to die of foundering. It got in some feed and ate and ate and ate and drank and drank. Hey, man, I want to tell you something. There is the Bible said here, take heed to yourself, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with the surfeiting and the drunkenness and the cares of this life, that day catch you unaware. Do you know what the Bible, I wish I could preach to you. Do you know why after 100 years of Noah preaching, it's going to rain, children? Amen. There's going to be a flood. Amen. Come up. But they were so involved in eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage that the sound doctrine, amen, of Noah did not sound good at all. And brother, the flood finally came and they were so ignorant to it that they said, what in the world's going on? And they ran out to Noah. Amen. They beat on the door, but it was shut up by the hand of God. And he said, I can't open this door because I didn't shut it. Amen. They weren't ready. The cares of life, the games people play, amen, had them so engulfed and so enraptured that the flood came and caught them unaware. That's what the Bible is trying to tell us. Amen. We ought to get our mind clear of this world. And I'm not after nobody tonight, but I want to preach to you a little. Do you know you can take a thing that's not wrong and in the magnitude of your consumption make it wrong? You say, I don't understand. Oh, I believe you do. Amen. Just like wherever tonight, in the big soup bowl somewhere out yonder, and I'm just preaching this. I'd have preached it if I'd have preached this last week. Amen. But you can take a game that kids play, and there's nothing wrong with throwing a ball back and forth and laughing and talking. But when that game gets so competitive and that game gets so, amen, out of control that they pay men $20 million a year to play it and 150,000 people or so watch it, amen, and all the advertisements pay millions of dollars for a 5-minute segment, I'm telling you, this got out of control. I wish you'd help me preach a little bit, and it becomes sin. Amen. That's right. They get so engulfed. I wonder if that crowd, amen, has prepared to meet God. Hey, help me preach a little. I said, I wonder if that crowd, as they turn up another bud and say, this one's for you, I wonder if they ever clear their mind enough to think that the Lord is coming, and they need to clear their heart of the clamor of this world that they might sensibly and reasonably prepare to meet God. I wonder sometimes, you know, do you know, I read something the other day, a doctor talking about dieting, which diet to me is a 4-letter word. But you know, they're talking about dieting. And he said the key was moderation. I just noticed the headline. The key to weight control is moderation, he said. And I wasn't really all that interested in that article, but I noticed that title. And I remembered a verse of Scripture where it said, "Let thy moderation be known among all men." Now, what does that mean? That means your ability not to go overboard. Come on now. Your ability to be in the world without abusing the world. You know the Bible says that. Do you know what abuse is? Hey man, you go to the counter and you get a Tylenol. You get a bottle of 100. And you take the whole bottle to cure a headache. You're liable to get in bad trouble. That's called an overdose. Praise God. That's called abusing. Abusing. That's called drug abuse. Do you know, hey man, that it is not intended, hey man, for folks to take, hey man, too much of a thing that might be a healer and a soother in the right amount. I wish you'd help me preach a little tonight. The Bible said, when thou eatest honey, Proverbs 25 and 16, when thou eatest honey, amen, do not eat so much as to cause yourself to get sick, amen. Could I tell you, we've got to live in this world, but we're not to devour and consume and get caught up and get our mind and our emotions and our affection upon this world, that it drown out the voice of God in our lives. The Bible said in Noah's day that men's hearts were on evil continually. That's overcharged. Huh? That's overcharged. Praise God, a Christian ought to be. We've got to keep, the Bible said, think on these things. Whatsoever things are pure. I'm going to preach to you some more. I've been wondering. I've been praying. I always pray, Lord, what can I do to wake us up that we'll have a consistent spiritual church? Amen. And the Lord spoke to my heart the other night, sitting in church, looking out the crowd. He said their hearts are overcharged. If you get too taxed in your physical body, you won't go 5 minutes without getting still. You dropped off asleep. You're exhausted. Like I was driving home all night long. My reflexes got bad. And I said, I got to pull over and get some rest. This is too hard. This is too much. I've got to find some rest. And I tell you, we're going too long without getting refreshed and filled with the Spirit of God. Church, are you listening to me preach? I'm talking about overloaded. You know, when you overload a circuit, the breaker kicks, the fuse blows, you lose power. It's a warning device. Slow down, back off, get rid. I wonder, all the preaching I've done here, 14 years last September, I wonder all the preaching I've done, and my children, your children, Brother Robert sitting here, I wonder many times, and I know you have too. As I see Michael, I'll see him on the road away from God. And I have to ask myself the question, what more could you have done to have kept that boy in church and out of hell? Amen. I can't help but ask the question. And I wonder, all the preaching we've done, all the praying. Amen. Michael's heard you pray many a prayer. You probably prayed some with him. Amen. And he's heard your voice. I've prayed with him myself. Amen. But what is it drowning that voice out? What is it that gets in our young folks' lives and drowns out the teaching, Sister Marilyn, that you've drilled in them all these years? I'll tell you, the Bible said the seed is sowed. And the cares of this life. Amen. Choke the word. Amen. That's in Luke 8, 4 through 15. The good sower. Do you wonder why we're no better than we ought to be? After all we've heard. After the praying that's went on. After the visit of the Holy Ghost you had last Sunday night. Where's the seed going to? Where's this victory going? Amen. The devil is choking it out. With the cares and troubles and turmoil.
turmoil of this life. You forget the power of God that you felt. You don't reserve enough time. Amen. Help me preach a little. You say, well, I've got to work to make a living. But brother, there ought to be some time in that day for you to weed things out and leave room for God.
Amen. Brother, that day is going to catch us unaware. I preached a meeting up in Ohio, in Dayton. I wasn't really going to tell you where it was at, but Dayton, Ohio. And they ran over 200 in Sunday school. But every night I had a different crowd. Those factories, they just juggled them schedules around till hardly anybody got to come every night. And many of them would, one brother come to me and he said on a Monday night and said, well, brother, I've enjoyed it on Monday night. I won't be here no more. The next service, I see a new face. Well, you weren't here last night. No, I was on the swing shift or whatever. Now, I know you're sitting, brother. Now, listen close now. I went to Indianapolis and held revival. Another big city. Same thing. You had about a dozen people, old-timers that was retired, and the rest of them, they're... I went to Mississippi, Pascagoula, Tuesday night. Boy told me, well, I got to work my second job for the rest of the week. Go in. I get up at 5:30, he said. I go to work. I work till 2:30, 3 o'clock. And then I go work at Walmart till 11:30 or 11 o'clock. And so I won't be here the rest of the week. Now you say, well, brother, what's wrong with working? It's an honorable thing. I'm going to tell you, it's as in the days of Noah. Hear me? You say, well, there's nothing wrong with working, and there is no sin in working. Matter of fact, it may be some and not. But can I tell you that this last day strategy of the enemy, and not only was that man working two jobs, his wife was working. And grand total, I just figured it up from conversation. Grand total for the two jobs, he's making $18 an hour, and she's making $8. So that's $26 an hour. Where in the world does a young couple spend $26 an hour? Well, y'all ain't helping me preach none. $26 an hour at 40 hours a week is nearly $1,000 a week. I'm going to tell you something. You can get mad at me if you want to, which some of you's already headed down that road. But I'm going to tell you, you can stack that $1,000 a week up in a bank somewhere. But if you ain't careful, that day will catch you unaware. I may be too simple for you, but there ain't nothing more important in your soul. Huh? I couldn't have figured out they live in a trailer. You know, I could have figured it out if they lived in the Taj Mahal. They lived in a trailer on a rented lot. You say, I'm not being critical. Lord bless your heart. And I don't think they're bad people. I believe they're trying to live for the Lord in some way. Amen. But I want to tell you this. And you say, brother, it's the spirit of the age. Every big city I preach in, that's the way you got to live. Amen. To pay your bills. To keep things rolling. Amen. Pass your wife in the way in. They pass you on the way out. Amen. Don't have time for kids. And if you did, you'd have to send them to a daycare. Amen. And you can't afford that. You'd have to take another job to pay for that. You say, brother, what is it? I'm telling you what it is. It's the end time spirit. People worship money. You hear what I'm saying? They worship money. Amen. They're going to have what they want. Amen. If they have to throw their family life and their church life down the sewer hole, they're still going to have it. Amen. But can I tell you this? We better listen to Noah. He said there's going to be a flood. We better leave a little of our time and a little of our mind and a little of our heart. Amen. To let God speak to us and tell us Jesus is coming soon. Now, I'm not trying to be critical. I know in those places, if that job is a swing shift, you're going to have to do it. But I want to tell you this. That does not take the danger away of occupying your time and that day catching you unaware. Amen. Amen. Love the world? Never. The Bible said you're in the world, but you're not to abuse. You're not to take the excess. I want to tell you something. Oh, help me preach a little bit. Amen. I'm going to quit here just as soon as I can. But I'm going to tell you, I have seen it in the church world. Amen. So much of the world's appearance has clung itself. Amen, Brother Robert, to the church people. And you say, well, what is that? What are you talking about? I'm saying that you have gone too far. Amen. In using this world. When you let it hang on you and alter the way you look and the places you go. Amen. Listen to me. Amen. You need to be careful, amen, and not let the world crowd out Jesus out of your life. What have you thought about today? Have you let the cares of life push Him out of your life? Even little things that aren't wrong in moderation become sin to you when you go overboard. Is that right? I read Brother Mike DeWitt Talmadge told about going to a town where they had a perfume factory. And those people that worked in that perfume factory breathing in that fragrance of them, they actually took flowers and made some of the scent using flowers. And they had gobs and gobs of flower petals that had to be crushed some way manufacture the scent out of that. And the people that worked in those lovely petals died at an early age from breathing the scent too much. It wouldn't have hurt them at all to pick one a day, carry it in and smell it and put it on their table in moderation. But where they was in that all day long, over and over and over. Amen. I want to tell you something. This world will choke you. Amen. And I'll tell you, even if it's not worldliness, the cares. Amen. You say, well, brother, what's wrong with that? The Bible said, be not weary. Huh? You say, that's a command. It sounds like one to me. Be not weary. You know, oh, I wish I could preach to you tonight. Brother Noah, we've got to have peace of mind. Amen. And you need the peace of mind. We've got to have ourselves in a position where God can deal with us and warn us and exhort us. Amen. The thing that ought to be chief on our mind is the Lord is coming. Amen. And we don't need to let the world drive out that message that we can't prepare ourselves to meet God. We don't have time for revival. And I tell you, this message may not fit exactly here. It fits to a degree. But just about everywhere else I go to preach, amen, you don't have time for revival. Somebody asked me while I was gone. Said, don't y'all work like this up where y'all at? And And I thought about our good old country, hard-working people here. And I thought, you know, I didn't lose my composure or nothing. But I thought, work. I tell you, them little old lightweight jobs they got, they ought to crawl back in one of them mines for a day. But I didn't say nothing. I said, well, we're so back in time up there. Most everybody's trying to make it on one job. prices are still cheap enough where everybody tries to make it. And I don't see nothing wrong with working 12 hours a day. If that's what it takes. It's hard on you. I've done it lots of times. And, you know, I don't think a hard day's work will kill anybody unless they're sickly. Huh? It might put me in the bed, you know, but I don't think it'd kill me. But my point is, it's not the hard work, but it's the time that piles in over and over and over and over. And we, oh, you're not helping me, Prince. Take heed to yourself, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting. That's foundering yourself on this world. On the drunkenness. Are y'all listening to me, Prince? Drunkenness. Cares of this life. So that they come upon you. That day. Come upon you. Unaware. Listen to the rest of it. For as a snare shall it come on them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore and pray always that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. I'm going to quit here in a minute. I want to preach to you just a little more. There's one thing I want to bring to our attention. Gideon had all these thousands of people, and God kept whittling them down. And one of the tests that he had was when they come to a pool of water. Now listen to me. The ones he took were the ones that lapped the water. Got down. Now listen to me. They took the water up in their hand and lapped it out of their hand. You see what I'm saying? Nothing wrong with the water. The ones that he sent back, brother, was the ones that would have probably drunk like I would. They got down on their hands, thirsty. He waited till they were real tired and thirsty. And they got down on their hands and knees and they did like this. Everybody that put their head down to drink, he sent them home. 300 of them. I'm going to tell you, if what you're doing causes you to take your eyes off the enemy, you need to quit what you're doing. There's little things in life that we can't enjoy if we do them lap at a time. But when we indulge, is anybody getting this message? When we indulge, hey man, we put ourselves in a vulnerable position and we'll fall. So God is separating people. He wants somebody to watch. That's how we're going to have revival here at King Mountain this week. We're not going to indulge in the world. We're going to pull our time. We're going to come home. We're going to spend a little time in prayer and preparation. We're going to come to church. We're going to be ready to stay till the meeting is over. Huh? And we're going to realize that we know we've got to have a job. We've got to work. You've got to take care of your house, lady. I know you've got to take care of the kids. We've got to educate our children. But when that's over, hey man, we plug that out of our minds and we put Jesus on our minds. And we don't let the cares of this life choke. Choke. Do you know what choking is? I know I'm turning red in the face. I do that anyway. This tie is a choker. But do you know what choking is? It's to cut off the airflow into your body. You know what happens when you strangulate the oxygen? You'll turn blue. And after a while, you'll die. You know what happens if you choke off the blood flow to this left hand? If I bind that up and keep something on that for a long period of time, after a while, I lose that hand. It'll decay. It'll rot. It'll lose feeling. It'll be a disaster. It'll be a disease to my body. Amen. That's what happens to our lives when we choke the Word of God. That's what's happening. I'm putting the Word of God in you every Sunday, and something's choking it out before next Sunday, and it becomes nothing and void to you. And some things you can't blame the devil on. That sower, the devil did take some of the seed in that parable, Brother Mike. But this seed that was choked out by the weeds, the devil had nothing to do with it. The cares of life. Are you going to let life destroy you? Are you going to let, Brother Darrell, and it could be easily done. Just let that job, let the cares, let the worries and pressures of life just completely ruin what you get in church tonight, and you'll backslide and be lost without God. Huh? Let's stand tonight. I feel like I preached just what I needed to. We need revival. I'm going to tell you, plan on being here. Plan on being here. Now, I've overheard folks say, well, what nights are you going to get to go? Well, don't plan on not going. Plan on going. Yeah. Huh? Plan on being here every night. Something will come up, probably. You might miss one night. You don't have to. I don't think I've ever missed a revival service in my life. What about that? But I know everybody's not that fortunate. Come on, church. You say, well, what's the big deal? I'm going to tell you what the big deal is. You'll have revival, or that day will catch you unaware. What does that mean to you young folks? Look at me just a minute. What does that mean, that day catching you unaware? What's that mean? That day catching you unaware. It was a tragedy in Mississippi. Brother McDonald told me about, showed me the man sitting there. His wife and daughter was in the car going down the road. They hit her brother head on and killed both of them. Put him in intensive care, and he was in intensive care. They did not tell him who he hit till he was out and mended and well. They still ain't over there. He said, that's tragic. You know, it pays you to prepare for that day. Huh? That day. There's no need after the fact. When the door is shut and you're beating on the door. But God wants us to prepare now. And you know what keeps us from preparing? It's when we allow the cares of life to overcharge too much stuff in here. Huh? Too much stuff in here. Let's bow our heads. Dear Lord, you know, I have read books that physicians wrote, Brother Robert, that said they weren't really, you know, going to pinpoint, but they said, the physicians say you need a period of time in your day where you, if you're a religious person, where you pray, that it helps you physically to, and they wouldn't want to just say it right out, but they'd say, pray, you know, whatever that means to you. They said that it helps you physically. But you know, he don't know the half. When you go in that closet, Sister Marilyn, and the Bible said, you know what it said, Brother Robert? Shut to the door. You know why that is? That's not necessarily to shut yourself in with God, but shut yourself out from the world. Huh? Because God is everywhere. But you go in there and you shut the door. And you shut the worries and the bills and the squabble with the neighbors over the property line. You shut your doubting and your pouting.
You shut your unbelief and your aggravation and your anger and your guilt, you shut it out and get in the presence of God and say, God, now help me to cast my care upon you, that the cares and business of this world don't shut me away from Jesus. We pile up worries and concerns till we can't see over top to see into eternity. Overcharged, drunken, in excess, surfeiting, too much, overloaded. The breaker's kicking on you. Huh? It's time we got at peace with God and we got sober in our spirit and we realize we're just passing through. Some of you, brother, and it's Brother Dexter's mentioned, Brother Dexter, the layoff at your mine. How many men got laid off? One whole third and second shift men out. And that is a worrisome thing. But let me tell you now, there's something more important. You say, brother, the job, and it is a crisis. But I'll tell you what we need. There may not be a job for any man here in the next 10 years. And I want to ask you, and I know my job, I know what happens to my job when your job goes. And I want to ask you this question. Are we going to have what matters when we lose the temporal things? Have we let those things crowd out our position with Him? We're going to be in trouble if we do. That's right. That's right. That's why we're going to have revival. God has blessed this church with jobs, Brother Zane. Men here have got jobs, and some of them the best jobs in the country. That's a blessing of God. You can take it for what it's worth, but it is God blessing His people. That's right. But the Bible said it rains on the just and the unjust. And when an economic catastrophe comes, it's going to come on everybody. Oh, let me make you an altar here. I was coming back the other night, and I'm just going to mention this, and we're going to pray. I was coming back the other night and trying to stay awake. I was listening to news talk shows, and they could not talk about anything but Clinton and his affairs. That's all I could get. Switch, switch, switch. And every station that would come in, it would say something about Clinton and what's her name and all that and all this and all that. And I got to thinking, then the report came that Iraq, and they was thinking about an attack on Iraq. And I thought, man, you know, what shape are we in? The guy that's got the loaded pistol is fooling around with a 21-year-old girl. Now, don't let me shock you into your political creek here. But I'm going to tell you, that worries me some. Huh? That makes me a little nervous. How about you? And I'm going to tell you, 30 years, the unemployment rate and the inflation has not been any better in 30 years. That could be history in 30 seconds. Do you believe that? You better. Do you believe that? You don't know what's holding the stock market up. Huh? You don't know what's holding this economy up. You don't know. And I'll tell you, God's divine providence will come to pass. And the Bible said, the nation that forgets God will be turned into hell. Somebody say amen. So I'll tell you what we better do. We better get our mind on that day. Preach a little more, Jezebel, or whatever. He'll feed you any way he can. But the brook dried up, and a widow fed him.
I'm going to tell you, God will take care of you if you've got Him on your mind and in your heart. Are you overpowered, overcharged, overdone, overbalanced, overloaded? That day will catch you unaware. I like this world. I like the nature and the natural things and the things that God has done. I do. I like it. It's not my home. It's not my home. I'm looking yonder. How about you? Let's come and pray. Come and pray. Let's pray about revival. Let's pray. Pray for yourself. Take heed to yourself. God, have you got me where you want me? Let's pray through now, church. Let's take this message to heart. Let us take heed to ourselves, lest we be caught unaware at that day. That day. Let's prepare for that day. Nick, turn with me over to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 9. I'll read there, and then I'll go to the book of Amos and read in chapter 6. I hope you'll pray with me tonight and help me preach. And we'll get right into the altar as soon as I can get through this and plant something in your heart and mind. We'll get into this altar. And last night I was encouraged about the service all the way. I felt God's anointing preaching. But I declare the altar service was a mite short for revival. You understand what I'm saying? Now it felt kind of like a common service, but I tell you, we're going to have to pray a little harder if we're going to have revival. That's right. And so tonight, I know the responsibility is on me tonight. If I can get the message to you and make you feel like praying a little, amen. If we'll come and pray and pray about this meeting and beg God to let us see His hand in these services, the hand of God. That's right. All right, look at Ezekiel chapter 9. And he cried also in mine ears with a loud voice, saying, cause them that have charge over the city to draw near, even every man with his destroying weapon in his hand. And behold, 6 men came from the way of the higher gate, which lie toward the north, and every man a slaughter weapon in his hand, and one man among them was clothed with linen, with a writer's ink horn by his side, and they went in and stood beside the brazen altar. And the glory of the God of Israel was gone up from the cherub, wherefore he was to the threshold of the house, and he called to the man clothed with linen, which had the writer's inkhorn by his side. And the Lord said unto him, go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and set a mark upon the foreheads of the men that sigh and cry for all the abominations that be done in the midst thereof. And to the others he said in my hearing, go ye after them through the city and smite. Let not your eye spare, neither have ye pity. Slay utterly old and young, both maids and little children, and women, but come not near any man upon whom is the mark. And again, oh my, are you getting it? Begin at my sanctuary. Begin at my sanctuary. Now, I want to preach tonight on, I don't know, titles aren't any good much anymore with me. I'm getting too old or something to think of them. But I want to preach on the key to survival here. The key to our survival in this wicked hour we live in. Amen. And when I talk about survival, I'm not talking physically. But I just want to level with you tonight. I personally want to be a survivor in the spiritual realm. If I don't survive physically, I want to survive spiritually. Oh, come on now. Church, I want to preach to us a little bit. The Bible said, set a mark on the forehead of the men that sigh. Get that word, sigh. You ever do any of it? That's a sigh. You ever do it, Brother Mike? Huh? The ones I want you to center out for survival are the ones that sigh and cry for the abomination that be done in the midst thereof. Now, I want to preach to us tonight. I know that there's a lot of emotions in a human being. I know there's a lot of feelings. And I know that in a lot of situations it doesn't take much to set us off. Amen. But the people here that are separated from those that are destroyed are those that have a deep yearning in their spirit, amen, that something be done about the abomination. Not their necessarily their position in life, but the thing that causes them to sigh and to cry, and the thing that moves their emotions is the wickedness of their day. Amen. All right, come on now. Now I know that we can look at our world situation tonight, and just about everybody in here will be disgusted with the way things are going on. That's not what I'm talking about. These people were not merely disgusted. You know, if you run into enough wickedness, if you're not careful, it'll make you bitter. It'll make you hard. You'll get aggravated. It'll make you angry. You'll want to get a hold of something. But that's not the spirit that these people had. They had a sighing spirit. Oh, I hope you'll help me preach a little. Amen. They had a crying spirit. They had a burdened spirit. They had a sorrowful spirit. Amen. Here's what I want to preach to us tonight. Amen. If we're going to survive in this day, if we're going to have revival in 1998, amen, we're going to have to do more, amen, than just not like the way things are going. Amen. We're going to have to, I want to give you a few terms and see if you've heard of them. You ever hear the term, God's dealing with me? Huh? Boy, y'all looking at me awful quiet and tired here tonight. I said, have you ever heard the term God's dealing with me? When was the last time you said that?
When was the last time you felt God in the midst of all of this sin and abomination? When was the last time you felt God of heaven dealing with your spirit and your heart? Amen. When was the last time that you said these words? Amen. There's something on my heart. Huh? Now, stay with me now. Praise God. Oh, we're easily aggravated. We really are. Why, I've seen young girls get aggravated if they couldn't get their hair to do right. Huh? Yeah. Men usually don't have enough to get as aggravated as, but they do get aggravated too. We're so shallow, amen, that you can't hardly get in traffic if you don't pull out when the light turns instantly. You'll get a horn blowed and folks' emotion and passion will be pouring out of them. But brother, that's not, amen, the spirit that I'm talking about tonight. I'm talking about a spirit, amen, that when we look at a lost and dying world, amen, we get that spirit of sighing. Amen. Do you know the spirit that is upon these people when they begin to sigh? Amen. It's when you get weary with a circumstance. And it seems, Brother Mike, that the such a situation has lasted longer than you wanted it to last. Come on now, church. Oh, I wish you'd help me preach a little bit tonight. I'm talking about revival. We will never have revival, amen, until somebody, amen, gets tired and weary with the circumstance and the situation and they begin to sigh. Amen. I'm not talking about you being lost. I'm talking about you getting discontent, amen, with the abomination and the coldness and the indifference of the church world. Amen. I want to tell you, we can have revival when you begin to sigh and say, I'm tired of the way things are going. Oh, stay with me just a little bit. I want to preach to you a little bit. God help me tonight. Just a little thought blowing through my soul. Amen. The Bible said, mark them that sigh and cry. Mark those that are concerned, that have a... When was the last time you was able to stand up and say, I've had a burden, amen, for someone all day long? Amen. Brother Steve talking, amen, about the man that was about to, amen, throw his family away. Amen. There's a burden, amen, that God gives a person. Amen. I'll tell you what, we'll bring revival to our little church at King Mountain. It's when we begin to sigh and begin to cry and begin to get something on our heart and begin to get inspired and moved and motivated and burdened by the Spirit of God. Oh, stay with me a little bit tonight, church. I want to read you another scripture in a little bit of a different light. Book of Amos, chapter 6. The Bible said, woe to them that are at ease in Zion. Now, when someone's at ease, they are comfortable with the situation. Praise God. Amen. Now, I want you to get me. I want you to get this tonight. I want you to understand what I'm saying. I know there's times we look at sin and we can look out over this crowd, and I do it just about every service. And the Spirit of God trying to move, and I see folks not moving. Now, there's times that I get aggravated in a certain sense, but that's really not the Spirit that I'm preaching about tonight. Just to get aggravated and put out with folks is not going to help folks at all. Amen. To look at the White House and see all the mess that's there. We knew it was there anyway. But when it comes to light, it makes you sick. And I'll tell you, it's happened in the White House before now, too. That's right. And it's a sick, adulterous generation. We can read the headlines. We can point our finger. We can say, I told you so. But brother, that's not the spirit that's going to cause a difference in our world. I tell you, the spirit that will cause a difference is when we begin to sigh for the abomination. I am sorry that our leaders are involved in adultery. Amen. Because it is something, amen, that brings a reproach to them and a reproach to God and a reproach to our nation. But I'll tell you the way sin ought to affect us. I wish you'd help me preach. I'll tell you how a nation in sin ought to affect us. It ought to drive us, amen, to our knees, and we ought to begin to sigh. We ought to sigh in the spirit and say, Lord, how much longer? Oh, Lord, holy and true. Amen. What can we do? Amen. Against this abomination. Amen. And somebody, amen, come on. We cry, amen, in America. Amen. Tonight, amen, there are folks crying because they won the ball game. There's others crying because they lost the ball game. Amen. Some are crying because they didn't win the lottery. Amen. Some are crying, amen, because they lost this or that. But brother, listen, amen, a spiritual church and a spiritual people is one that cries, amen, because of a lost and dying world. Amen. We'll have revival when we get our vision back and our passion back for the right things. Amen. Oh, help me preach a little. You can tell how carnal we are. You can lay your fingers on our pulse. And Brother Mike, see what causes it to race and what causes it to ebb. What you can put it up on our, take our temperature. Amen. And see. Oh, how can we walk through this wicked world and all we worry about, amen, is if we've got everything all right. But the Bible said, woe unto them who are at ease in Zion. Amen. We cannot sit down. And I'm not talking about a bitter, hateful, aggravating spirit. I'm not talking about that, Sister Ethel May. I'm talking about a spirit that Jesus had. Brother, he sighed and he cried and he wept. Amen. And he had compassion. I want to ask us tonight, where is our compassion for a lost and dying world? I'll tell you why we have no more vision and no more compassion. We're not spending enough time on our knees. Brother, that's where you learn how to sigh for a lost and dying world. Amen. Help me preach a little. We won't have a birth in our church till somebody gets to sighing and crying and burdened for a sinful world. Now, I don't believe that this spirit caused these people to be hateful, caused them to be irritable, caused them to be grouchy. You know what causes people to get ill? It's when they feel violated, when they get cranked, when they get in a pinch, and they get hateful, grouchy, worried about old number one. But when you get this burden I'm talking about in church, we're sitting quiet tonight. Amen. But I want to preach to you as a pastor tonight. Amen. We need to get back to the times where we can say, God is dealing with me. Praise God, I tell you, it'll do you no good. Amen. Well, let me say this. It might do some good, but not much good for you to get on the job. Amen. And just all you've got in religion is the mouth religion. Huh? You understand? All you got is a say religion and not to do religion. Amen. And you can all day long get on the job and say, hey, boys. Amen. Get right with God, you're going to go to hell. When that don't come, if that does not come from a dealing
and an inspiration and a moving, amen, and a motivation. If you've not spent time sighing and crying, I believe you ought to speak to folks. And most of the time, the right strategy is the way Jesus did, one-on-one, hallelujah, in a private quarter. He even talked to Nicodemus by night. Amen. Come on now. You get in a group, most of the time when he dealt with groups, he dealt with hypocrites. Amen. Come on now. Isn't that right? That's right. He rebuked those generation of vipers. Amen. But when he went to dealing with folks, he dealt with that little woman that was in adultery. Amen. When the accusers walked off, then he spoke to her. Amen. At the well. Amen. He talked to a little woman. Hey, I want to tell you, but it's not going to do any good until you're moved with compassion and you're sighing and burning. God, lead me to the one nearest hell.
I'll tell you why we're so dead. You young folks, listen to me a minute. I'm not trying to be your favorite preacher tonight, but I want to tell you something. You know what I want to see in your faces when you're singing or when the Word of God is preached or there's lost people here? I want to see concern in your face for the soul of somebody else. That's why, brethren, I get really, really anointed when we're trying to get the lost in, Brother Charlie, and somebody in the back of the church is talking, amen, and you have to call them down so somebody can maybe get to the Lord. You say, Brother, you're mean. No, I am not mean. I'm telling you, when we come, amen, we ought to come to church to get a burden. When was the last time we said, I've got a burden for somebody? Amen, Brother Robert, today I looked out the window and Michael, the vehicle had stopped out there. I got my coat. I said, here's a chance, amen, for me, amen, to say one more word, amen, to Robert's boy that he loved so dear, that's on his way to hell. Amen. I got down there and he done got it started and out of there. But I was headed down. I'm not a mechanic, but I'm going to witness to a soul. Amen. But we got to have a burden. Oh, help me preach a little. Amen. We got to have something that'll drive us, amen, to our knees. That'll cause us to pray. That'll cause us to be different. That'll cause us to lose focus of ourselves and give us a burden for somebody else. Brother, I'm talking about having a revival that'll move people from the edge of hell to the gates of heaven. Come on now. When was the last time you said, I've got something on my heart I want to say? How many understands what I'm talking about? Huh? What about you new converts, you young folks, you older folks? Huh? When was the last time you got something on your heart from the Lord? Does this make any sense? I'll tell you, these people in the book of Ezekiel, he said, I want you to take the slaughtering instruments and you slaughter all of them that are indifferent and unconcerned, them that are enjoying sin or walking with sin and not caring. But those that are caring and those that are concerned and those that are sighing and those that are burdened and those that are interceding, amen, let them pass by. Spare them. I'll tell you how we're going to survive in this hour. We're going to get under the load. I'm not talking about a load that causes you to go commit suicide. That's the load of sin. But my burden is easy. Amen. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. Get under the load with Christ Jesus. Amen. Come on. Let us begin to call on the Lord and intercede. Help me, God. Let me read to you. Woe to them that are at ease in Zion and trust in the mountain of Samaria, that your name chief of the nations to whom the house of Israel came. Hash ye unto Cana and see, and from thence go to Hamath the great, and then go down the Gath of the Philistines.
Be they better than these kingdoms, or their border greater than your border? Ye that put far away the evil day and cause the seed of violence to come near. Is that what we've done here tonight? Is that what America has done? They've caused that day, the evil day, they put it far away. They caused the seed of violence to come near. They lie upon beds of ivory and stretch themselves on their couches, eat the lambs of the flock. You understand what they're saying? Eat the lambs of the flock. They're not concerned about the future. That when you eat the lambs of the flock, you're not concerned about the future. That's what America's doing tonight. That's what a lot of churches are doing. For the pleasure of today, they destroy tomorrow. Are you helping me preach? Notice what happened. You see, somebody that'll eat the lambs of the flock, Brother Robert, they're not concerned about their children. They're not concerned about the next generation. They're not concerned about anybody but old number one. And I want you to notice what else it said. It said a chant, amen, to the sound of the viol, and invent themselves instruments of music like David. They turn up the music. They drink wine in bowls and anoint themselves with ointment. But they are not grieved for the affliction of their brother Joseph. You hear what I'm saying? They are living in an excess and a riot. They have everything they need, everything they want. But they're not burdened that their brother Joseph is in affliction. Oh, it ought to grieve us to prayer. Amen. If our brother is not, amen, is saved tonight. Amen. If our loved ones are not in as good a shape as we are. Help me preach a little bit. I know this is not good preaching. Amen. But I want to preach to you. We need to get under a burden. Amen. Not for ours. Not for just me. But for the kingdom of God. Amen. Come on. Woe to them at our knees in Zion. But let us sigh. Let us tell God, God, we're weary with the situation. Move and change. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. You cannot have revival without a vision and a passion. A passion for souls. You understand what I'm talking about? Where your passion is turned loose after righteousness and in the spirit of prayer. Amen. Hannah had no children. She had the handmaid or bore children and laughed at her, mocked her. Brought sorrow on her life. She went to the altar in the house of God. She was so sorrowful and so burdened that when she got down, she could only move her lips and could not make a sound. Oh, help me preach a little tonight. Amen. She came to the altar because she had no children. And in that day, it was a curse not to bear a man child. Amen. And she said, oh, Lord, in her heart she spoke, give me this man-child. Amen. Avenge me of this mocker. Amen. And she's burdened down. The man of God came over, the priest that was kind of lukewarm in his soul, and said, she's drunk. Amen. She acts so strange. When was the last time we carried such a burden and such a desire that the world thought we was odd and peculiar? Come on now. Amen. What's the last time we prayed with groanings? Amen. Which cannot be uttered. Praying in the spirit. Moaning and groaning and working our way to the throne of God. And calling their name. I hate to bring a cloud upon you tonight. But we will not have revival. We may sing good and preach all right. And have a little stir on the top of the water. But brother, if we're going to get somebody out of hell, we're going to have a passion, amen, a burden, a zeal, amen, that eats us up and consumes us and takes our appetite, amen, and makes us sigh and brings tears to our eyes that we might see somebody saved. Somebody say amen. Ooh. How many know? How many knows
that this works. How many has ever been there? Desperate. All you can do is say, oh, God. How many has been there? All you can do is say, oh, God. Cry like Rachel, oh, God, give me children, lest I die. That's a burden. I said, that's a burden. Amen. Paul said, my heart's desire for Israel is that they might be saved. Moses said, Lord, if you blot them out, blot my name out also. Oh, we need to get to where we feel for somebody besides ourselves. We drink our wine in bowls and anoint ourselves and invent new instruments. Amen. While our brother, amen, is in need. Oh God, give us a compassion for this lost and dying world. Give us a tenderness toward each other, Lord. We might be more understanding, more compassionate. Jesus was moved with compassion. Let's be like Him. The tears of Jesus. Let us shed those tears. Oh, let us be those in that begin at the house of God. Amen. And mark those that are under the load. Those that are in the burden. Those that care what happens to the church. Oh, it's quiet in here. I'm trying to preach to us. Maybe I'm trying to preach to me. But I'm trying to preach today. Amen. Our survival. We can get selfish. And we can just worry about ourselves. And we'll be lost ourselves. You hear me? These that had no burden, Brother Danny, they thought they were safe, but they weren't. When the slaughtering weapon come through, those that didn't give a hoot were destroyed. It sure is quiet in the church. Praise God. And I know that we can get so frustrated. But I'm not talking about frustration. I'm not talking about aggravation. I'm not talking about detesting the world. I'm talking about loving the world. I'm talking about, as Paul said, the love of Christ constraineth me. Knowing the terror of the Lord, I persuade men. There's anything more ungodly in the sight of God than an indifferent spirit. You know what I mean by indifferent spirit? He told the church at Laodicea, you're neither hot nor cold, you're lukewarm. You could fit in either world. You're comfortable in the church, you're comfortable in the world, you're on the fence. You're enjoying the best of both worlds. You know what he said? You make me sick. You make me sick, he said. He said, if you're lukewarm, I'll spew you out of my mouth. Jesus said, look on the field. He
had to have a vision. Look out there. I don't see nothing but this bad woman here, and we just come from town. There was flea market going on. We got a few victuals. What's he looking at? Look on the fields. They're white. They're already white for harvest. That's what Jesus saw when he looked on that woman that had five husbands. He didn't just see a rotten, stinking adulterer. He saw a field white to harvest. I don't know if God's going to forgive us for continually, over and over and over again, coming into His house at ease, enjoying our sweet choirs, our good music and singers, enjoy preaching of the gospel, a wonderful place, drinking our wine in bowls and anointing ourselves and saying all is well when the whole world is burning out around us and nobody is sighing, nobody is crying. I know this is awful. This is awful. But I just had to preach to you what the Lord blew through my soul. And I want to continually mention to you my point as I went through. I'm not talking about getting so put out with the world that we lose out ourselves. I'm talking about humbly going somewhere between them and judgment, Brother Mike, and being like Aaron and holding the censer up and stopping the plague in somebody's life before they go to hell. You're the intercessor. He that when a soul is wise. Are you grieved over the things that grieve God? There's things that make us upset that God don't care nothing about. It's just not even important to Him. There's things that brings tears to our eyes that you never see God crying over. And the thing that stirs the passion in Jesus, we don't even think about. I'm not trying to be mean to Him. I'm being too mean. I'm just preaching my heart. Hannah, God's heard your request. He's going to answer your prayer. He's going to give you a son. And she said, I'll give him back to the Lord. That's the way it works. I want to see souls born for the kingdom of God's sake. I don't care. We don't even keep a number. I'm not interested in telling folks we had so many. I wish we had standing room only. But it's not the number I'm after. I want God to burden me like Jesus wants me burdened. And look at every soul that enters those doors and you that are sitting here tonight as an eternal bound soul. Is Leonard Ravenhill that said, anybody ever hear of Leonard Ravenhill? I believe he was a Scottish preacher, English preacher. He said, I don't care how many degrees you have. If you don't pray 2 hours a day, you're not worth a dime a dozen. That's the way he said it. That's a tall order, ain't it? But what about getting under this burden? I just felt like writing those things down. When was the last time you said, God's dealing with me? Something's on my heart. I've been burdened for you today. I want to change. I want to change. That's what that sigh says. I want an improvement. I want to see God move. Stand with me tonight. God bless you for your patience. God bless you for your patience. Come on to the altar. I want you to seek the Lord with me. I want you to ask the Lord, don't let us be frustrated with the world. Let us have compassion. Let us have a burden. Let us deal with this, God, about the soul. Inspire us, Lord.